The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And you're probably familiar with that song.
Yes, you should be.
You probably started singing that beginning right as it was coming on going, why are we talking? But if that sounds familiar to you, that is because that is the number one song from 36 years ago this week.
What else happened 36 years ago this week?
I was born 36 years ago this week. In fact, We're a Little Behind wishing me a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And I'm not so egotistical that I'm trying to give myself birthday props. But yes, that was the number one song the day I was born. That is the Human League's Don't You Want Me, Baby. Mm-hmm. Don't You Want Me.
Yes.
And number one song. And the reason I mention my birthday is because I've been waiting for this episode.
Yeah?
This is the one I've been putting it off. I kept wondering, why have we not done this? And I'm like, I'm waiting for my birthday. I'm talking about my favorite movie trilogy this week.
We haven't talked about that yet?
No, I don't believe we have.
Wow.
And that means Wally is going to be going on to some pretty fun posters, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
And I'm talking about, of course, Back to the Future, the Back to the Future trilogy.
Yes.
I love it. It's my favorite, my absolute favorite. And it, the first one, Back to the Future, the original, started it all. Was released on this day, 33 years ago, in 1985.
Wow. So this day being July
the
3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
July 3rd, 1985. So 33 years ago, Back to the Future was released, and so we get to talk about my favorite movie trilogy ever.
So happy birthday, Back to the Future.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. So 85, huh?
Yes. Yeah, which means that I since it's come out, I've had now every version of the anniversary editions of all those movies.
It's true. How many copies of this trilogy do you think you have on DVD or Blu-ray?
Let's see. I've got the VHS copy. I've got
VHS.
I've got the widescreen DVD, the full screen DVD, the Blu-ray set, and then the anniversary Blu-ray set that has the animated series.
Yeah, that's a lot of copies of the same three movies.
Plus a 25th anniversary copy of the DVD just of the first movie because it had like a film cell. Yeah, I do all that.
That's borderline a set obsession, sweetie.
Sure.
But you know what? It's your favorite. So yeah. So why is Back to the Future your favorite?
I just love everything about it. Now, I love that it has time travel. I love time travel stories no matter what. So, I mean, Back to the Future is just the best of any time travel story.
Because
If you use time travel too much or in the wrong way, it completely ruins a story.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be like Amnesia or Dream Sequence or whatever. If you use it the wrong way or too often, it just ruins the story. And I feel that Back to the Future just does it so well.
It really does. And it's been documented as doing it well.
Yes. You were reading that a film school?
Yes, the let's see if I can find that. The Southern California University, I believe, uses it in their film classes. Okay, the University of Southern California Film School's writing classes use the screenplay for the first Back to the Future movie as the model of the perfect screenplay.
Because it's done so well.
Perfect. Mm-hmm.
I love that it's got the right amount of conflict. It's got the right amount of comedy. It's got the right amount of action. It's got the right amount of everything. However, Back to the Future 1 is not my favorite of the Back to the Futures.
It's not.
My personal favorite is Back to the Future Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have this debate with a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people prefer 1.
They do. And I'm not saying they're wrong.
And
I'm
then
saying
some, and then some weird people prefer 3.
I don't want to know those people.
It's just,
3
yeah.
cannot be your favorite. And if it is, I'm pretty sure I'm sending you to the cops because there's probably a chance you're a psychopath.
Well, maybe it's people who prefer Westerns. Like, maybe they like Westerns, and so since 3 is mostly Western-based, or maybe they're just really big fans of Mary Steenburgen.
Okay.
Who knows?
No.
No?
No.
No? Now, creepy little kid in the third movie doesn't
do
it for you?
I will debate this. No. And we'll get to that when we talk about the third movie. I debate this a lot. And, mm-hmm. the thing about... this microphone is just driving me crazy. It doesn't have... Okay, hopefully that's right.
Yeah.
It doesn't have... But I debate this a lot. And the debate being that some people like one, I personally like two. I'm not saying that they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's personal preference. And I have reasons why I feel that two is the best.
Mm-hmm.
One is a good screenplay, and I get that. But you're there for a time travel movie. In the first one, they time travel once, and it's done.
Right.
He goes to 55, comes back, done. In two, you go to 2015, which 2015.
Right, yeah. not the future anymore.
Then you go back to... 85, the alternate 85, then you go back to 55, which you then see the original movie from a whole different perspective because current Marty is trying to avoid past Marty in the past, and then they have to fix it, and then they have to go again to 1885. They actually jump then right at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much time travel that happens there, and it's just, and to see all this, and it gives you, okay, let me just throw that out there, hoverboard.
Right.
Yeah. Hoverboard.
Yeah. We've had this discussion before, and I am in agreement with you. I like two better because I just, while one is fantastic and wonderful and perfect, I like you said, the different time jumps, the 2015, the 85, the 55, the 1885.
The almanac,
yeah. I like all that. And I have had some people who say that the reason they don't like two is because it's too much with the visual effects.
Mm.
And I don't really feel that much. Like they, you know, I mean, you had the Jaws, the 3D Jaws, which I think is awesome because it totally predicted 3D movies.
I've solved this problem, and we'll get into this too, but solve the problem is that is an alternate version of 2015.
Right.
That is the one that happens because Marty crashes the car and he only time travels once. He doesn't learn his lesson. So when you alter the course of history in any way, it has a ripple effect, the butterfly effect, which is an actual thing that people talk about, to where it changes everything. So all the things that you see, probably the reason why we don't have the stuff in Back to the Future 2 in 2015 that we did in 2015 now, mm-hmm. is because theoretically, all those things didn't happen because Marty altered the course of history by being there.
Right. But then again, but some things we do have. Like, we do have 3D movies.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're not holograms.
They are 3D. And also...
We don't have flying cars.
We don't have flying cars.
But we do have hoverboards.
Yes. Even though they're not the same, we have them. And hey, we have those futuristic Pepsi bottles because they released those.
Don't get me started on this.
And we tried really hard to get Chris one, and they were sold out before they went on sale.
They were like the Rick and Morty Szechuan sauce. Whole thing where it's like, oh, we have them, and they only like released like, you know, 2,000 bottles for millions of people.
Yeah.
You're like, you guys are just
kind of
the worst.
Kind of a sore subject. We tried really hard. But again, they existed.
Yeah.
And isn't there something with the Nikes? Aren't they actually working on those, or is that just a...
Yeah, no, they are.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They actually have them. You can actually, they're like super pricey, but you can get the self-lacing shoes.
Right. So, but then another problem I've heard from people is that the makeup, the prosthetics are too much on Biff and Lorraine. But again, I like it.
It was also 1988 or 89? I think they started in 88, right? Like they started because it was released in 89. And then it was in 88 they started. So, I mean, you're dealing with effects that they actually created half the time for these movies.
Right.
Like, they invented special effects for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, guess what? Sometimes you have a trial and error process.
And I really like to watch the progression of the DeLorean mm-hmm. throughout the three movies, how it actually evolves as Doc learns and works on it a little more. Yeah.
Well, they got rid of the whole plutonium problem.
Right.
With Mr. Fusion.
Right.
And it's so great that in the third one, it's it has its problems with still needing gas because it's a gas engine.
Yeah, because it's still a car.
Yeah, Okay, so we'll go in order.
Okay.
So Back to the Future 1,
mm-hmm.
released on this day 33 years ago, July 3rd, 1985. And it kind of just changed everything. Like, granted, I just turned 3. I remember seeing it in the theater.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Your memory for things like this is way beyond anything I can comprehend.
Because I remember when it was released on TV, and they had it on TV, they played it on NBC before the other before the new movies came out, the sequels.
Mm-hmm.
And they played it on TV, and it had to be continued and all this. And I remember being 6 going, that wasn't there the first time.
And it wasn't. That is true. That's a very interesting fact, in that Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale never actually intended this movie to have sequels. And the to be continued was just a final joke. And they didn't actually want it to be there. So it was inserted into the end of the VHS release in 85. So it wasn't there in the original theatrical run, and then it was taken out from the DVD. And it says on here that the cliffhanger ended the film was not originally intended, but rather as a last joke. It was admitted by the writers that they had originally, had they originally intended to follow a sequel, they would not have had Jennifer get in the car, which is why when they actually made the sequel, they knock her out immediately because they didn't want her in the story.
Have you ever seen the comparison from the ending of the first one and the beginning of the second one, and they overlap them, and they do a really good job recreating the ending of the first to be the beginning of the second, because of course they have two different actresses playing the role of Jennifer.
Oh wow.
Because I don't remember the original actress's name, but she was replaced by Elizabeth Shue.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, her mom got cancer, and so she backed out of the sequels.
Yeah.
But my favorite little tidbit of information about the to be continued, that's how Michael J. Fox found out that there was a sequel.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was, according to him, he found out that there was going to be a sequel when he watched the VHS version and saw to be continued. So he immediately called his agent to make sure that he was going to be in the sequel.
But his kids haven't seen it.
Yes. That, as of 2015, Michael J. Fox's children have not seen these movies. That is crazy.
I'm pretty sure that counts as child abuse on your part.
Well, I think actors get a little protective of their children when it comes to their careers. Like, they don't really want them to watch their movies, and not because the movies are inappropriate, but just because it's dad. Like, that'd be weird. So,
yeah.
Or maybe they're just not interested in his career. Who knows?
Well, then he has terrible children if that's the case. Those are great movies. What are you doing?
They are great movies.
So, for those of you who don't know what Back to the Future is, at this point, usually during this part of the show, I tell people about what we're talking about if you haven't seen it, because we were behind. But see, I don't feel that anyone really, other than Michael J. Fox's kids 3 years ago, are behind on this. It's Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. It has been parodied.
Yes, there's the word.
Parodied. Yeah, parodied so much in pop culture that it's just insane. And it is widely held as one of the top movies of all time.
Synopsis of movie for just in case there is some person who happens upon our little show and decides that they don't know what Back to the Future is.
First of all,
let me just say, whoa.
First of all, go watch it.
But it is, Marty McFly is a teenager who hangs around with this professor, scientist named Doc Brown, Emmett Brown. And Emmett Brown creates a time machine out of a DeLorean, and Marty is accidentally sent back into the past, 30 years exactly, and he has to make sure that his parents meet to make sure that he's then later born, and then get back to the future. Thus the title.
Very succinct synopsis.
Yes, there it is.
There it is.
You have Johnny B. Goode in there, and you have time-traveling DeLoreans.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's nothing wrong with this movie.
So, some people have problems with one aspect of the storyline. So Marty goes into the past.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah. So, Marty goes into the past, and he meets his parents, which is actually the inspiration for the film to begin with. Bob Gale was going through his parents' garage, found yearbooks of his dad, and thought, I wonder if my dad and I would have been friends had we been the same age together? And so that kind of was the kernel for the movie. Mm-hmm. So Marty goes back in time, and his mom falls in love with him. She crushes on him hard. And she doesn't realize that he's her son, obviously, because she hasn't had him yet.
He's 30 years in from the future.
And so she wants to go to the school dance with him, but she really, really needs to go with his dad because it's at that dance that they fall in love and, you know, decide to get married. At the Enchantment Under the Sea dance. And that's how, you know, they get married to have their children, including Marty. So if they don't get together, he no longer exists, which is one of the awesome parts of the time travel thing. But a lot of people have a problem with the fact that the parents don't seem to notice or never comment on the fact that their child looks like this kid they knew in high school and goes by the same, whose name was also Marty. But I would argue that it's 30 years later.
Yes. This is the reason I've given you.
Are you really going to recognize someone from 30 years ago?
So 1985 Marty was only in 1955 for the span of 1 week.
Right.
Which means he does not exist in their time frame and their universe. Which means that there's no photos of him. There's no way for them to see him ever again. And they are teenagers. Now, I go back 20 years. And if I don't know what some, if I, I have a really tough time remembering somebody that I met for a week and remembering what they look like.
And not only that, but Marty, as their child, they have watched grow up and develop.
Right.
So they've seen his face since he was an infant. And so
that face is now his.
So by the time that he reaches, how old is he? 16?
17.
17? So by the time he reaches 17 years of age, it's not like they're all of a sudden go, wait a minute, you look familiar. Of course you look familiar. I've been your child for 17 years.
Right, yeah.
So I just don't really buy that. And then they also mentioned that, you know, Marty, like you mentioned earlier, that they didn't call him Marty. He was
Calvin Klein.
Because that's the name that was sewed into his underwear, which
right.
I think is brilliant. I think that's great. Anyway, so they didn't know him as Marty. And like you mentioned, he says it at the end.
Right.
But again, that's not what they've been calling him.
Right.
During their whole, you know, relationship with him.
Right.
Being friends with his dad or anything.
A week.
A week long.
30 years prior.
So Marty makes references to future things to his dad. So he mentions, they mentioned John F. Kennedy, who was already a senator at the time. So that's not crazy.
But he doesn't have, obviously, a street named after him.
Right. But he is in the lexicon of society. But then when he's dressed up as the spaceman to convince his dad to do something, and he says that I'm Darth Vader from the planet Vulcan.
Star Trek, Planet Vulcan. Star Trek, I believe, premiered in 1966.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but that's 11 years after that incident.
Right.
So if you remember the word Vulcan from 11 years later, after just waking up from a guy in a spacesuit in front of you,
something
good luck with
that. He obviously thinks is a dream,
mm-hmm.
right? Like a dream or hallucination or something.
Or he was actually visited by an alien.
But either way, I mean, is he 11 years later, or in the case of Star Wars with Darth Vader,
which came out in 77,
which you're now 22 years later. I completely will suspend my disbelief that his father does not remember that.
I feel like that's a very, like, people are putting too much pressure on that moment
mm-hmm.
that they should have realized. And the fact is that they didn't name their first child after Marty.
Mm-hmm.
They had a daughter after that. So it was their third child that they decided, hey, let's call him Marty. By the way, we're together because of this guy in school who we don't really remember his face, but it was important enough.
I think the closest that would come to why don't they remember this is when he says, hey, when your son lights the living room floor on fire, go easy on him. Like, that might stick with you when it actually happens down the road.
That should, yeah.
So that would be a, wait a minute. But
again, that's,
yeah.
If the kid's like six, that means it's been, 13, that's like 19 years. That's almost 20 years after he said that.
Yeah.
That throwaway line of, if your kid ever sets the rug on fire, and they're like, and by the way, when he says that, they're not even together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just kissed for the first time at that part, at that dance.
Right.
Like, who says that they're going to even get married? Like,
yeah.
For all purposes, those two should have split up.
Yeah.
But, you know, against all that. So, yeah, like, all those things. All of those things can be explained away.
So I think people who nitpick at that are just, that's all they're doing is nitpicking. Like, that's not a flaw in the movie. That is you being way too specific and putting way too much trust in the human mind to remember things like that.
And before we take a break, I want to say that the cast in this is great. And ironically, I mean, I would argue that it's one of Michael J. Fox's most prominent roles.
Oh, yeah. I think he's known for this more than anything else.
He's been on Spin City. He's been in tons of movies, you know, Family Ties. I'm pretty sure this is, like, if you have to go, like, Family Feud, where they give you, you know, on that thing where they list the top thing, the survey. I'm pretty sure if somebody says, name the most famous Michael J. Fox role, Marty McFly is probably going to be the number one answer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's said in interviews that that people still call him McFly.
Mm-hmm.
And that he was actually in Asia, like in a really remote jungle, and he passed by a group of monks. And one of the monks turned around and said, "Hey, Marty McFly."
They had already filmed about a third of that movie without him.
Right.
Because it was originally cast with Eric Stoltz, who was best known at that time for the movie Mask.
Actually, it was originally cast with
C. Thomas Howell.
But then Mask was so popular that they scrapped him and went with Eric because he was a bigger name.
And there was no chemistry there.
No chemistry whatsoever.
But they had to because he was then fired and they replaced him with Michael J. Fox, the original Lorraine was recast as Leah Thompson because originally the role was held by Melora Hardin, who is, for people who don't know...
Not Leah Thompson's character. She was Jennifer.
Oh, she was Jennifer?
She was Jennifer.
Oh, okay.
No, Leah Thompson was always Lorraine. Hardin, who...
was Jennifer. Got it.
Right. Who, for The Office fans, is Jan Levinson Gould, was almost Jennifer.
Yeah.
But she was too tall for Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. Okay. So we are going to take a break, and we will get back, and we'll start talking about, you know, Back to the Future, Part 2.
Part 2.
Yeah. So you are listening to We're a Little Behind. So stick around. We'll talk about Part 2 when we come back.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Free Fire Radio on Friday, July 20th, right here on KCNR.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean? Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Rodola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goals. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Rodola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And you might not have been ready for that yet, but trust me, your kids are going to love it.
That's right.
We are talking about the Back to the Future trilogy.
Yes.
This is really enjoyable for me, just to let you know.
Good. I'm glad. Hey, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birth week.
Yes.
It's not. You have to share the birth month, though.
I do, because, well, that's yours, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mine was a couple weeks ago, so.
Yeah. So we're both June babies.
But you get the weekend.
Well, and so it's your birthday, and about between 2 to 3 weeks later, it's my birthday,
mm-hmm.
and then 2 weeks after that, it's our anniversary. So, yeah.
So summer is a very celebratory time for us.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So now we've talked about Back to the Future 1, sort of. we more or less shared a lot of facts and trivia about that. Now we're talking about 2.
Yes.
Which is arguably, and mm-hmm. I know I say that out there, I mean that arguably my favorite movie.
Yes. I because your hierarchy goes 2, 1, 3, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and then followed by 500 Days of Summer.
It's a toss between that and Princess Bride.
It's true.
Because everything about Princess Bride.
You do own more copies of Princess Bride than you do 500 Days of Summer.
It's because it's more in the pop culture lexicon, and they include a lot of freebies with the DVDs.
But still not as many copies as Back to the Future.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can figure out your favorite movies by just counting our DVDs, which I wouldn't suggest doing because we have a lot.
Yeah. But, yes.
Anyway.
But 500 Days of Summer and Princess Bride are, like, right there.
Yeah. Anyway.
And I count Back to the Future trilogy as one.
Right.
But if I had to, it's like on a Windows, like a Word document or something where you have the plus mark. Back to the Future has a plus mark, and then you got to click the plus mark, and then all of a sudden it drops down to the sub list, and it has all three of those movies, and then it goes 2, 1, 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because that one's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, hover cars.
Mm-hmm.
Hoverboards. You've got
multiple time travel.
Yes,
multiple jumps.
The fact that they predicted multi-screen TV viewing.
Mm-hmm.
They pretty much invented FaceTime. Just letting you know that AT&T was their provider,
mm-hmm.
and they have FaceTime.
So
yes, I get it. I will admit they kind of jumped the gun and expected the fax machine to be a bigger thing than it was. But, hey, let it go.
Hey, I still use a fax machine in my everyday work life.
Yeah, but they expected it to be, like huge in the home.
That's true.
Like, that's how people were going to communicate.
That's true.
Like, when his boss fires him, he says, read my fax. And it's got Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I love the scene where Jennifer is, so she's found by the cops,
uh-huh.
and they scan her fingerprints to tell, you know, where she lives, and they take her home, and she's, you know, sneaking around the house trying to figure out what is going on, and you see all the future family members. So uh-huh. you see Marty in his double tie little thing, the two knotted tie, and you see Lorraine and George coming in, and he's in, like, that upside down like spinal decompression thing.
Yeah, it's pretty much what it is. He threw out his back.
Yeah, and how she makes the pizza in the microwave. I'm still waiting for that.
It's a dehydrator or rehydrator.
Rehydrator. Yeah, I'm waiting for the tiny little pizza that will rehydrate in a matter of seconds.
No one rehydrates a pizza like Grandma Lorraine.
And then most embarrassingly for me is that I did not realize until way later than I'm willing to admit.
You know you don't have to share this.
But I'm going to.
All right.
I did not realize that the daughter was played by Michael J. Fox.
All the members except for all of them are played by.
Well,
he plays his
two kids, which I knew that one. I knew he was playing the son because obviously, but I did not realize that he also played the daughter until way late in the game. And I think it's because I didn't notice the first time I watched it because I didn't really care. Like, that's not really what I was watching it for.
Right.
So I was so young. And then from that point on, it just kind of, I just glossed over it.
So it's weird, but for some reason, so they play multiple characters in all of the movies. So you have Marty playing Marty, and then so you have Michael J. Fox playing Marty.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's older Marty, obviously, but then he also plays his son, okay? And then he plays his daughter. He also, when he goes back to part three, plays his great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Right.
And he marries a woman who looks a lot like Lorraine. So what this movies are an allegory for history repeats itself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that Marty and McFly genes are super strong.
Super strong. Yeah.
And all the men have a type.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. I'm actually kind of surprised that they didn't try to cast him as George too. Like I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility that they thought about that, making George,
well,
also played by the same actor who was playing Marty.
Crispin Glover, who was in the first one and it played a huge part in part one. Part two was not involved in the movie in any way.
Well, yeah, he didn't want to be. He actually sued them for using his image.
Yeah.
Because he was still technically in the movie because they used footage from the first one.
He's an important part of part two. He's got, they have another actor playing him in aged up makeup when he's in the 2015. They used footage that was cut from the first movie when he goes back to 55.
Mm-hmm.
And they create a picture of him from the 1970s when he's murdered by Biff.
Right.
To put in that newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so once the whole great part about this is when Biff finds the time machine in 2015, he takes it and goes back to give himself the sports almanac so he becomes rich.
Almanac.
So great. And then they go to that alternate 85 where Biff is now rich. He's murdered George McFly and married Lorraine, and it's Biff's pleasure palace, which, by the way, it's okay. All politics aside, he looks a lot like Donald Trump.
He does.
Like, I'm just throwing that out there.
Long
before politics were a thing, this is very, it's very much like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He looked like him in 85, and even the 2015 aged up Biff, where he's Grandpa Biff, kind of has that same kind of look to him and everything.
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
Yeah.
I see where this is going. But it's so great. That movie is so great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, but so Crispin Glover sued Universal because they used, like we said, they used his footage from the first movie,
right,
without his permission, and they settled out of court for $765,000.
It's not bad. It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and Universal decided that it would be cheaper to just pay him off than to actually go to trial.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So they paid him, but that actually caused the Screen Actors Guild to introduce new rules.
Makes sense.
After that case.
Yeah.
Now, from what I've read about Crispin Glover, he's kind of an oddball. He's a weird guy.
He's, as the Hollywood word that goes around for him, he's eccentric.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Well, he was problems from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Did they not ask him to come? He didn't want to be a part of the second one. They didn't want him back.
Yeah.
So he has a very weird haircut in the first movie when he goes back to, when he's a teenager in 1955.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like anyone else's, and it's not a 1950s haircut. He legitimately, they were getting ready to film, and he went and got half of his head shaved.
Oh, wow.
That's why it's shaved on one side, and it's parted, and they had to fix it as best they could. But it, and they slicked it back and everything to kind of give it. But that is not a 1955 accurate. They tried to do it the best they could, mm-hmm. and they make him, since he's a weird guy, you know, George McFly is kind of a, he's a sci-fi kind of guy who's into weird things. They just kind of chalk it up to that. Like, he's mm-hmm. the 1955 version of a nerd.
Right.
And, but it's because Crispin Glover went and shaved his head on that, and they had to fix it because they're like, this is not time period appropriate.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a really weird haircut.
That is. I always noticed that he had a weird haircut, but I just chalked it up to George McFly as kind of a weirdo, which is why Marty had to try so hard.
No, it's because Crispin Glover is a weirdo.
Yeah. Why Marty had to try so hard to get his parents together. Because, I mean, in the original 1985, in the first movie, mm-hmm. I mean, their home life is not great. I mean, Lorraine is a drunk, and his dad's a wuss. And
there's a great deleted scene. I know we're jumping back to one.
Hey, we're time traveling.
We're time traveling.
It's
here.
Okay.
But there, so when you see him, they change scenes after Biff wrecks the car in one, and he's like, you know, and Biff tells him that he needs to do his work and has time to do it in his handwriting. It then changes scenes, and it starts off the scene with George pouring some peanut brittle into a bowl. Mm-hmm. It's never really explained why that's there. Mm-hmm. There's a deleted scene that is, it's great. It's one of the neighbors comes up and he says, hey, George, my kid's selling peanut brittle. I put you down for this many boxes. And it's like 20 boxes, like huge amount. Like, it's really large. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, no. He's like, what are you telling me? You're not going to get this? And he was kind of like mean to him. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they have so much peanut brittle.
Yeah, if you watch the movie, there is tons of peanut brittle on the counter and on the table. And, yeah, it's everywhere.
It's not talked about.
It's not explained, yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. So when he goes back to 55, Lorraine immediately kind of crushes on Marty and really doesn't want anything to do with George. And that's very easy to see. Like, you can tell in their 85 life, they're not happy. And so at the beginning, you can kind of understand why maybe they're not, you know, she doesn't really want to be with him. But then, of course, they, you know, Marty works really hard and does make him fall in love and gives, and not only that, but gives his dad the confidence. Because, oh, well, Lorraine is choosing me over this other guy.
Right. Originally, how they got together was the Florence Nightingale effect.
Right.
It's because her dad almost hit him with a car, mm-hmm. and so she nursed him back to health, and they just kind of went out. But he was still a dweeb and a wuss.
Because he was a peeping Tom.
Yeah, he was a dweeb and a wuss.
Right.
But once that didn't happen because the dad almost hit Marty, mm-hmm. and then they've got to go, they got to change it back to where she goes to him with the dance. It causes, he's never stood up to Biff, which is why in 1985, Biff is his boss and wrecks George's car, and he
blames it on George.
Yeah, still doing his work for him, and it makes him, you know, over mm-hmm. the weekend.
Just like
he's a bully.
Yeah, just like it's back in high school and he's mm-hmm. doing his homework.
Yeah.
And so now.
So in, when he goes back, the reason why he gets them together is because Biff. He punches Biff out because Biff has him in an arm lock and he pushes Lorraine and it pushes George too far and it just changes something in him. Mm-hmm. And so he's no longer a wuss.
Right.
And so boom, done. Yeah.
And so now in the new 85,
the corrected
85, he's a successful writer and they're very happy. And I love how they're in the same house, mm-hmm. but it looks completely different.
It's nice and clean.
It's clean. It's stylish. It's modern. They just got back from playing tennis.
Yeah, he's not.
Flirting together. Like, well, they're happy.
Well, that's because their neighborhood is being built in 1955 mm-hmm. and it's for the luxury people.
Right.
But in 85, by this point, that neighborhood has gone down. Mm-hmm. So they are actually living in kind of like the slums.
Right.
So the house, yes, is different. I mean, it's the same house, but it's not only is it different because of them being successful, the whole neighborhood is changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was supposed to be the luxury neighborhood when it was being built. But because of the fact that he's been successful and now he lives there, probably a whole bunch of other people are in that area, too, who are also successful, and it becomes a nice neighborhood as well.
Mm-hmm.
So while it's the same house, it's it's completely different for right. a bunch of different reasons, I would say.
Right. And just talking about this, it reminds me of, you know, there's always things online of videos of, oh, 25 facts you didn't know about Back to the Future or whatever, which never. But my favorite one that always comes up on those lists is the Twin Pines Mall and the Lone Pines Mall. Yeah. So that's the first one, right?
That's the big thing, yeah.
Yeah. So when Marty originally sees Doc at 2 o'clock in the morning, he meets him at
1:20 in the morning.
I'm sorry, 1:20 in the morning. He meets him at the Twin Pines Mall.
Correct.
And then when Marty goes back DeLorean,
Doc says he remembers back to 1955, and that this whole area was owned by a farmer who raised pine trees.
Mm-hmm.
His whole thing was he loved pine trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's called the Twin Pines Mall.
Mm-hmm. And so when Marty gets in the DeLorean and goes back and gets to 55, he crashes into a pine tree.
One of the two pine trees.
One of the two pine trees.
That's in the farm's driveway.
Yeah. So then when he goes back to 85 to try to save Doc from being shot by the terrorists.
Libyans.
It's now the Lone Pine Mall. And I love that little change. I mean, that's so beautiful that they got it down to that detail.
That's what I love about this movie.
Yeah,
I love all those small little details. You can watch Back to the Future multiple times, and each time you're going to see something new. I've been watching this movie, obviously, for the last 33 years, and even now I can watch it and just appreciate something new every time.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we need to talk about number three.
We do need to talk about number three, and so I think we're going to take another break, and we are going to... We're going to take another break.
Yes.
And then when we come back, we're going to talk about part three.
Part three.
Yes. We don't need as much time for that one.
No, we don't.
And we'll probably keep jumping back.
Probably.
You're listening to We're a Little Behind.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Speck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank.
consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we've been talking about the Back to the Future trilogy. We've talked about one. We've talked about two and going back to one. And now we're talking about three.
Three. And I'm so glad you played this song. I love this song. I love this version of the song.
Yeah.
Another thing that took me way too long to realize was a ZZ Top song.
Yeah.
But, and they play it at the dance.
Yeah, that's
the third one. Which is great that the musicians of these movies appear in the movie. So
again, going back to one.
Going back to one. So, of course, Huey Lewis in the News did Power of Love, and that's played during the movie. But when Marty is trying out with his band to
he's
playing that song.
Terribly.
And it's actually Huey Lewis himself who stands up and says, "I'm sorry, boys, that's just way too loud."
Yeah.
It's just great. And then in this one, they're the band at the dance. At the town dance that they're having where they play the song. It's actually, you know, ZZ Top playing that song.
So, quick on this one. They, you know, at the end of two, the DeLorean is hovering, struck by lightning, which then charges the flux capacitor, bringing it back to one.
You need to
be hit by lightning to trigger the 1.21 gigawatts, and it sends him back to 1885.
Side note... Gigawatts is not a mispronunciation like a lot of people think it is. It's just an older pronunciation.
Interesting.
Yes, but it's still accurate.
Doc Brown said it. It was accurate enough for me.
Anyway.
He gets thrown back to 1885, and he tells Marty not to follow him. He gets some instructions that he left the DeLorean back in 1885, buried in a mine tunnel, and find it. The 1955 Doc will be able to get him back to 1985, and we're going to call it done. But as it turns out, he finds out that Doc was murdered about 3 days after writing that letter, 3 or 4 days after writing that letter, and so he has to go back to 1885 to save him, and they're thwarted by gasoline.
Gasoline, yep. Yeah, I mean, in 1985, the DeLorean runs on plutonium, right? Plutonium, yeah.
Well, the car itself, in all incarnations, runs on gasoline.
Right, but the time machine portion of it runs on plutonium.
The flux
and then
capacitor.
When he gets back to 1955, Doc says, "Oh, well, that's probably plentiful in 85, but we can't get it now," which is what breeds the Mr. Fusion. But now in the third one, it's the gas that actually powers the car.
Right, he still has Mr. Fusion on the DeLorean, which will power the flux capacitor, but they can't get the car up to 88 miles per hour without a gas engine.
Right. So, and in this one, Doc finally gets to fall in love, which I want to mention before, so that we don't run out of time, his weirdo kid at the end.
Oh, that is so weird.
So weird. So at the very end of the movie, he's destroyed the DeLorean. It lands on train tracks.
Because
and
that's the whole point. How they get the car up to 88. If you haven't watched the movie and you're out, I'm sorry, you're just out.
But again, and so Doc wanted it destroyed because it's causing too much problem because time travel gets tricky. And so the DeLorean is smashed to bits by a train. But then all of a sudden this flying train comes in. So Doc rebuilt his time machine just now out of a steam engine instead of a car.
Right. To introduce his family.
His family. So he's married to Clara, played by Mary Steenburgen. Mm-hmm. And she has not aged very much.
No, she's great.
Then. I mean, she has a couple of lines on her face, but she pretty much looks the same as she did in this movie. And his two super strange kids who just kind of...
Jules and Vern.
Who just stare into your soul. And one, the smaller one, right?
The younger one does this
weird little come hither move with his finger. And then
points to his
crotch.
And
it's creepy.
When asked about this, the kid apparently had to use the bathroom, and he was motioning to his mom off camera that he needed to use the bathroom. But it doesn't come across that way. And also, they should have refilmed it.
They absolutely should have refilmed it. It is creepy.
Because
not only is he doing this weird little come here hook thing with his finger and then pointing at his pants, he's got this, like, dead stare and sneer.
He's got the sneer. He's making, like, weird faces. Like,
it looks like he's looking into the depths of your soul.
Okay, so for people who watch the movie normally, you're only paying attention to what Doc is telling Marty. They're having an exchange. It's this
really
important
piece.
That's
the main focus of of the scene.
Once you see this kid do this, you never get to watch the movie normally ever again.
No, you can't look away. You just can't look away. It's kind of creepy.
Creepy as all get out. That is so, so weird.
But anyway, so weird kid at the end. But backtracking, while I do think that part three is the third best of the trilogy,
right,
it's still a good movie.
It's like Neapolitan ice cream.
Yeah.
You're going to have your favorite flavor.
Mm.
You're going to have the one where you go, you know, if this wasn't there, this would be my favorite. And you have the other one that go, it's there.
Right. But
none of them are bad. They're just not that you just have in order favorite and favorite flavor.
But the Old West element of it is really fun. I really like seeing the clock tower be built. That's that's really cool. And I like them trying to figure out how they're going to get this car from the 80s to run in 1880. And how Clara is a bright girl. Like, she's the school teacher, but she's not letting any of this go.
Okay, so Chelsea wrote me right now while we're on the air, and she says, can you blame him? He's had to pee since 1885.
Still, but why the soul stare? why are his eyes burning into my retinas?
Okay, so a couple of facts about this that I want to throw upon. One of them is Doc brings back a gift to Marty, which was the picture of them together at the clock tower.
Right.
I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe you also bring him something that he can hold on to and sell for it being, you know, 100 years old, like maybe a collectible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just start him off a little bit on college.
Right.
Just, I'm not saying make him a Biff Tannen millionaire pleasure palace, but maybe, you know, give him a shiny silver nickel that would be worth, you know, a couple of $100,000 or something. Maybe pay for his college. Just saying. He's done a lot for you.
That's true.
He got you a wife and saved your life in the Old West. Maybe give him something.
But then he also ended up with creepy kids, so.
Yeah. So another good point that I'd like to point out is that while I was watching the fun facts on the movie, it says that Hill Valley is just outside of a real town. Hill Valley's fictional, but it's just outside of a town I've actually lived in called Grass Valley, California.
That's true.
So it's just outside of that. I'm like, I've lived in Hill Valley?
Mm-hmm.
So,
you have. Good job for you.
Right? I'm super excited by that.
So you were just meant to love these movies.
I was.
It was meant to be.
But yeah, Grass Valley, California.
Mm-hmm.
So quite the interestingness. You know, there's not a lot of time left with this, so let's take a little moment to remind people that you can catch our show on Spotify.
Yes.
It's live, on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
We will be getting on an FM station pretty soon.
That's exciting.
Yeah, because right now we're on an AM station, and the station is branching out and having an FM signal as well.
Very cool.
Double the places you can listen to us.
You can also check out all of our past episodes on our website, gomezcast.com, and there we link to everything we talk about, and we have our mascot, Walby, who appears in movie posters for every episode that we have. I think I've only had like two or three episodes early on that I didn't put him in. But for the most part, our little Walby is in those pictures. So keep an eye out for him.
All right. Well, that does it for our show. Come back next time. We'll have another great topic. I'm going to leave you now with a cover of the song that we started out with called Don't You Want Me by an artist called the DeLorean Sisters.
Oh, perfect.
Isn't that amazing? All right. See you next time. You're listening to We're a Little Behind.
Good night.
Shook you up and turned you around, turned you in. The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.